Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. The Word of God recorded in Isaiah chapter 65, verses 1 and 2. I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts. Several years ago, there was an advertising campaign on television promoting educational opportunities for the poor. At the conclusion of the presentation were the words, "A mind is a terrible thing to waste." How true. And yet how common it is that minds are wasted. This can happen in a variety of ways. St. Paul warns us against one of the most obvious examples when he says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Getting stoned, whether on booze or pot or some other kind of drug, is a sin against God, who calls on us to love Him with our whole mind. We should think about God. We should think about what God says to us. We should think about what He does for us, what He wants us to do. We should think of His promises centered in Christ. The great Danish philosopher and theologian Søren Kierkegaard popularized the idea of faith as a leap. The leap of faith believes what it believes without any proof. Now, it's true that we don't require scientific proof, but faith is not a leap into the unknown. Faith is resting, not leaping. It is resting secure in the very words of Almighty God. God speaks, and the only God who exists is the God who spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The only God who exists is the God who spoke to Moses from the burning bush. The only God who exists is the Holy Trinity, the Father who sent His Son into this world, the Son who gave up His life for us all on the cross and by His precious blood purchased salvation, the Holy Spirit who clothes us in Christ's robe of righteousness in holy baptism, presenting us to God as saints. This is the only true God. All other gods are idols, and our lives, bodies, and minds, and all we have are gifts from this one and only God. Faith may go opposed to reason when God's word says so, but faith is not an irrational retreat into the bottle or an irrational leap into a spiritual void. Faith is born, nourished, and confirmed by what God says. Everything God says is faith's food. To close one's mind to God's word is to shut the door to faith and everything that faith receives. A generation ago, a bright academic wrote a book critiquing modern education entitled "The Closing of the American Mind." Alan Bloom bemoaned the ignorance of students about their own history and culture and traditions. In skimming through it, one might think of the old slogan, "If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything." That pretty much describes our nation today. What Bloom saw in the academy is especially true in the religious realm among nominal Christians. Religious knowledge is at an all-time low. The average American knows very little about the Bible, its history and teachings, the history of the church, or the God who became incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man. People who would be surprised, even angered at the suggestion that they are not Christians, don't have the first idea of what a Christian is. And politicians market pretensions to faith as political currency. What's going on here? What God described through His prophet Isaiah years ago, "I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts." The key to understanding the wasting away of the mind is that it begins by closing one's mind to God's word. Jesus tells the story about the king who gave a marriage feast for his son. Those who were invited scorned the invitation, mistreating, even killing those sent to invite them. And that describes how Israel treated the God who chose her, called her, gave her His law, sent her His prophets. Israel rejected her God. And that's because they walked in a way that was not good. according to their own thoughts. They replaced God's word with their own thoughts. And then they kept looking at themselves as God's children. Because didn't God choose them? Didn't God call Abraham? Didn't God deliver Israel out of slavery in Egypt through the crossing of the Red Sea? Didn't he guide them to the land promised to Father Abraham? Didn't he call them by name? They were his, were they not? But God stretched out his hand to them, and they rejected it. All day long he appealed to them, and they ignored him. God spoke, and they shut their ears. They imitated the religious practices of their neighbors who did not know God. They claimed to be holy while despising the words of the God who called them to be holy. They said that God would never desert them. They belonged to him. How could God abandon them? And so says the apostate church of every age. She falls away from the clear teaching of God's word. She ignores the inspired words of the prophets and apostles. She thinks she knows better. And then she presumes to claim the very status that she has rejected. She confuses grace with indulgence, abusing it, distorting it, claiming it as justification for her own sinful and self-serving opinions. God rejected unbelieving Israel. The only valid response to God's grace is faith. But faith, if it is to be genuine, must be opposed to the thinking of fallen humanity. It must go against the crowd. It must be countercultural. What everyone thinks makes sense is precisely what God's word denounces. God teaches that you need Christ and his righteousness to cover your sin. You need that wedding garment provided by the king in the parable Jesus told. And then reason and the world says, well, what's wrong with what I'm wearing? But listen to what the prophet Isaiah says in the chapter preceding our text. He writes, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. To admit that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags is to admit that when we do the very best we do what is wrong. That's no excuse. That's an admission. We cannot bring ourselves up to God by thinking the right thoughts because our thinking is polluted by sin, and our thoughts direct us away from God. He must change the way we think. He must alter our attitudes at the very core of our being. Those who presume to claim a status before God based on their own works or efforts or spiritual prowess reject the God they claim to worship. Israel didn't admit she was committing idolatry when she adopted the idolatrous religious practices of her neighbors. She just called it the pure worship, and she said, if I say it is so, it's so. And so God, out of love, sent her trouble when she fell into idolatry to bring her to repentance. And then God would forgive her and restore her, but her repentance was always short-lived. She fell again and again and again. And finally, when God sent his son, most of Israel rejected him. Their own thoughts were too precious for them. They would not humble themselves before God. And then what happened? God tells us here in our text, I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. I look back at my ancestors, and I know for a fact that they did not want to know the true God because they were steeped in their superstitious ignorance up there in Norway somewhere, quite content with their superstitions. They trusted in lies that condemned them to hell, and they had no interest in the truth. Listen to this. They didn't find God because they sought him out, because they weren't looking for God. God found them, and that's the way grace works as we sing in the hymn, Lord, 'tis not that I did choose thee, that I know could never be, for this heart would still refuse thee, had thy grace not chosen me. Those who were not looking for God found him. Those who claimed to be his children lost him. The difference is faith. Faith lives on grace. Grace is revealed only in Christ. And Christ is known only by his word. That's why we cling to the word of God. And in so doing, we are kept by the Holy Spirit in the one true faith. calling yourself a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. God's word makes you a Christian. I was watching a newscast the other day when the anchor informed us that Salt Lake City was the most Christian city in America. Now, how could they possibly say such a thing? Well, you see, they polled the people. And if you said you were a Christian, that made you a Christian. Well, 80% of the people in Salt Lake City say they are Christians. And so this must mean that 80% of the people in Salt Lake City are Christians. What do you think of that? That's utter nonsense. Only a fraction of that number are Christians, because most of the people in Salt Lake City are Mormons, and Mormons are not Christians. Why not? Because they worship a God who is not the true God. Their God used to be a man, or so they say, and then he became a God by doing good stuff. And they say you can become a God too and rule over your own world if you join their so-called church and follow their rules. Now, they may be patriotic Americans, but Mormons are not Christians. They say they are, though, and that's what settles it as far as the TV news is concerned. But God is the one who settles it for us Christians. It's his opinion that matters, not ours. We don't decide for ourselves what it means to be a Christian. God does. And God says that only those who trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, true God and true man, as the fully sufficient sacrifice to take away their sins, are genuine Christians. That is, only those who've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, people can say what they want, claim what they want, think what they want, but God says that those who reject his word are not his children. They belong to the evil one. God stretched out his hands for Israel on the cross as he suffered for their sins, and they wouldn't hear. They wouldn't listen. They had their own system of morality, and it was quite adequate for them. Thank you very much. They did not need the blood of their God to be shed for them. They knew better than to trust in a bloody sacrifice offered up on a cross. And so they are no longer God's people. Neither is anyone who presumes to work his way to heaven, thus scorning the pure and holy obedience of Jesus and his vicarious suffering and death. If God rejected Israel for rejecting their Savior, what will he do to the apostate church? What will he do to the church that substitutes its own thoughts for his word, when people who call themselves Christians deny what God's word says about marriage being a lifelong union of one man and one woman and the only place where sexual intimacy is permitted? When people who call themselves Christians say that there are other paths to God other than through faith in Christ, the Savior of sinners? When people who call themselves Christians insist that we adapt our understanding of the Bible so that it will conform with whatever modern so-called science teaches as so much secular dogma, will these unchristian views become Christian views because Christians hold to them? By no means. It's the other way around. Christians who hold to them will no longer be Christians. It matters what we think. Following our own thoughts will lead us right out of the church. Now is the time of grace. God cries out to us who were not called by his name and says, "Here I am." And he is here where we confess our sins and unworthiness and call upon him for mercy. He who bore our sins in his body on the cross and shed his blood to forgive us is here forgiving us personally, repeatedly, keeping us in the true faith by the power of his holy word. He humbles us in our own hearts and minds, replaces our ignorant human wisdom with true faith, and claims us as his own. He clothes us in the righteousness of Christ and makes us Christians. So we're Christians not because we say so, but because he says so. Amen. We thank you for being with us on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. Today, the services are 8 o'clock in Mayville, 10:15 in Crookston, and 5 in the afternoon on Fertile. Next week, we go back to our regular worship schedule, and tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.